Welcome to Off the 99, a weekly radio show about news, politics, and all things Merced, brought to you by the Merced Sun Star and KYOS. I'm your host, Amira Butt, along with my co-host, Mike North, and this is Off the 99. This week, Off the 99 reporters, Amira Butt and Mike North, traveled to Mariposa, a seemingly sleepy little town northwest of Merced. Known for its gold rush history and the oldest functioning courthouse west of the Rockies, the town has more to offer than meets the eye. Mariposa is the first installment of Off the 99's Postcards edition, where we'll trek to neighboring towns to see what they have to offer. One radio show a month will be dedicated to the episode. At the Mariposa Museum and History Center, Elle Fournier talked to us about what exactly was in the museum and what made it special. Local historian and sometimes called the most interesting man in the town, Leroy Radonovich, gave us a full overview of how Mariposa played a role in California history. And don't think we forgot about the Double Rainbow Man, Paul Vasquez, he of the YouTube viral fame. Over at the Visitor Center, where people come from all over the world for advice and travel tips to Yosemite National Park, we met two women who shared why Mariposa is unique. Mariposa really is a community with one foot in the past and one steadily walking towards its bright future.
This is the Mariposa Museum and History Center in Mariposa, California. And my name is Ellie Fournier. I am the tour director, the gift shop manager, docent supervisor, office secretary, wear many hats.
Okay. I guess if you can tell us a little bit about what's Mariposa known for.
It's gold rush history, of course. When gold was discovered in Sutter's Mill, that was the beginning. And people came from all over, back east particularly, to strike it rich. That was the hope of everybody. But not many people actually did, of course.
Maybe the merchants who were selling goods to the miners, they struck it rich, didn't they?
Yeah, from what I've heard, apparently they were some of the wealthier people who came here. Yeah, that's a fact.
Now, I'm looking around the museum right now, and I see a lot of, like, there's a lot of Indian artifacts, and it's not just miners. So there's a lot more history that even goes farther back at this museum, right? There's a lot of Indian history here, right?
Absolutely. There is a lot of Indian history, and we have a large Native American population here still here in Mariposa.
What are people most surprised about when they come into the museum to learn about the history? And what do you think is the most, like, what do you think they take away at being surprised about?
The comments that we typically receive from visitors here at the museum have to do with they're overwhelmed with all the information that's contained here in this little museum. As a matter of fact, the Smithsonian calls our museum one of the best small museums west of the Mississippi.
That's quite an honor.
It is, yeah.
Why do they say that, just based off of everything that you got? I'm looking around. There is quite a bit, actually.
Well, yeah, I guess they're the experts on museums, and it's kind of a huge stamp of approval for what we've gathered here over the years, yeah. And this is all based on contributions, donations from the community. No one person or group has done it. I mean, it's definitely a community effort.
Why do you like living here?
Well, I've been here 20 years. I moved here in 1990, and I just got back from a trip in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I was homesick 4 days, 5 days there, and I could not wait to get back. It was brown, it was flat, it was gray, it was depressing, and I was so excited when my son picked me up at the airport, and climbing out of Merced into the foothills, I saw all my green hills and my trees, and this is my backyard. It's beautiful. This is nature. It's gorgeous, and it's a small town feel. Everybody knows your name.
It's got a little bit more of a laid back feel than some of the bigger
Absolutely.
Cities. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I guess the point of our show was just doing a postcard snapshot of different towns around the county, and I guess, who would you say right now is the most interesting person in town?
Can I vote? I'd say the Double Rainbow guy.
Oh, God.
Is that the answer we're going to get all day from people? Never heard Paul Vasquez?
You didn't hear of the Double Rainbow guy?
Oh, he's been on all of the radio shows.
I know of Paul Vasquez.
So we heard from a lot of people that the most interesting person in Mariposa was Paul Vasquez, a.k.a. the Double Rainbow guy.
Woo! look at that. It's starting to even look like a triple rainbow. Oh my god, it's full on double rainbow all the way across the sky. Oh my god. What does this mean?
Right, some people didn't know who he was, though.
Some people didn't know who he was, but a lot of people did. For those of you who don't know, he had a viral video about a year ago. I think like a year to the day, basically. He put this video online about he saw a double rainbow outside of his property, and he got very ecstatic about it and began crying, asking what it meant, wondering what it was, the meaning behind it.
I had a lot of friends.
It was a big hit.
Video.
Yeah, and it was on Tosh.0 and a whole bunch of various television programs, and Jimmy Kimmel linked to it from his Twitter, so it was popular. It was a popular thing, and now he's doing commercials. He's got a commercial for Microsoft.
He's
and some
out
other
of
companies.
The country, I think.
I think that's why we couldn't find him, because we went up to his place. We went all the way over to where he lives.
A bunch of windy dirt roads.
Windy dirt roads,
in Mike's
yeah.
truck
in
that
my
he two-wheel
drive
is a 4x4, but it isn't.
Yeah. Well, we made it. We almost made it to his house. We went all the way up this steep road, the steep grade, bouncing up and down through these ruts. And we could see his house. And my truck lost traction and began going back down the hill. So I had to back all the way down and walk back up.
Usually we're not this personal about our experiences dealing with the radio show, but I guess this week we are.
But we didn't get to meet him in person this time. We got to reach him via telephone.
This is Paul Yosemite Bear Vasquez, and I live in Mariposa and been here since 1985.
And of course, you're one of the most well-known people in Mariposa now because of your viral video hit, made you famous, the double rainbow video. So obviously you enjoy the beauty of Mariposa. That's probably one of the best things of living there, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. That and the people. The people are really amazing. It's beautiful, wonderful, amazing people here.
Right. And did you ever think that video would get so much media attention? You're out making commercials now. You've been on TV shows. Did you ever think you'd get so big from one video?
Well, I mean, I always knew I was going to be a viral video star. And when I shot it, I sent it to all my friends and said, send this to everyone you know. We got to make this go viral because this is, it could do it. So, but not this big. This is crazy.
Right, I got you. You're super busy now. You're traveling all over the country, right?
Yeah, right.
Got
so
you.
Yeah, I just signed a contract yesterday. It looks like there's going to be a commercial in the Super Bowl.
Really? In
yeah.
the Super Bowl, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. How many commercials have you done now? Is it up to two?
I did the Microsoft commercial. I did the Smartwater with Jennifer Aniston. I did the Vodafone in New Zealand. And this will be the fourth.
I guess that makes you an official celebrity then, basically. Right? And, you know, we were up in Mariposa the other day, and I was kind of laughing because we were trying to go see the double rainbow guy, and I went all the way up to your place.
Yeah.
I almost made it up the road with my truck. I couldn't quite get there. But you weren't there. You were off. You were somewhere else.
Yeah, right.
But obviously it is kind of a, not a backwoods area, but it's kind of set off from a lot of the other people in the town.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you kind
right.
of like living in that quiet part of the countryside?
Oh, I love it. It's amazing here. You know, this is the most beautiful place on the planet. So amazing. It's,
right, right.
So there's something big, really, just around the corner. Can't say much about it other than it's going to be a whole new thing, and it's going to turn the internet on its ear.
Oh, something involving you?
Yeah, I'm in it.
Okay, interesting. Well, maybe we'll be back in touch soon, and we'll find out a little bit more about that, huh?
Yeah, in about 2 weeks, I think I can talk about it.
We also talked to a local historian, and I do believe he actually photographs Yosemite quite a bit. His name is Leroy Radonovich, and he had some interesting things in history to talk about.
This is Leroy Radonovich, and I live in the town of Mariposa in Mariposa County, California. I've been here for over 70 years. And anymore, I don't have any title. I am a citizen, but in actual fact, professionally, I'm a photographer and a writer and a historian. I've had a number of books published on the history of Mariposa County and quite a bit about how it started and even how Merced County got started. So
We were at the museum, Mike and I, and they were talking about how a lot of the history of Mariposa deals with the gold rush. I was wondering if you knew any more of the history or how the town has changed maybe in the past, say, 5 to 10 years.
Well, going back to the original history of Mariposa County and the town of Mariposa in the Gold Rush. In 1846, Colonel John C. Fremont gave Thomas Larkin, who was the American Consul General in Monterey, a sum of money to purchase a piece of land for him, and what he wanted was something near the San Francisco Bay Area that he could use for farming. But what Larkin did was he purchased an agriculture or floating land grant that was didn't have any definite boundaries, but it was situated north of the Chowchilla River, west of the Sierra Nevada or Snowy Mountains, south of the Merced River, and east of the San Joaquin River. And when Fremont received this grant, it turned out to be over 44,386 acres. When he found out about the discovery of gold in California in 1848, that was in January of 1848, Fremont decided that he better have a little investigation of the property that he supposedly owned, and he was on his way back to California, coming through Mexico, and he ran into a group of Mexican miners from the state of Sonora that were going to the Mother Lode, or to the gold fields in California, to look into the discovery of gold. Now, this was by 1849. The Mexican miners were experienced miners, and they had mined with the Spanish in Mexico for 100 years. And one of Fremont's lieutenants by the name of Alex Godey came with the Mexican miners into the country around what is now Mariposa and what is now Mariposa County, and they began mining on Agua Fria Creek, which just is about 5 miles west of Mariposa towards Merced.
Right.
And then they came over the mountain and looked into the next valley of the Mariposa River, they called it, and there on the hillside was just lots and lots of what they call float, which is a quartz rock, gold-containing, which had worked its way to the surface as a part of erosion. So they began to bring that rock down to the creek, the stream, what they called the Mariposa River, set up two arrastas, which are a mining device used to crush quartz rock, and they separated the gold from the quartz. When Fremont found out that there was definitely gold in them thar hills, he floated his grant up into the Mariposa Valley and around here, and he laid out some corners to what he felt his claim would be. And then when California became a state in September of 1850, he filed the first claim for clear title to a Mexican land grant in the state of California.
Hmm.
And it took a number of years for that to all occur. He also became associated with a banking or development firm out of San Francisco by the name of Palmer Cook and Company. And he leased the property in the Mariposa Valley to Palmer Cook and Company, and principally the vein that had been discovered by the Mexican miners, which was right in the town of Mariposa. Palmer Cook and Company came into Mariposa Valley, and with them they brought surveyors, engineers, faro dealers, hotel keepers, cooks, miners, whatever.
So that's how it
and so they started mining here. Yeah.
Okay.
And they laid out the town of Mariposa. And what's unique about the town of Mariposa is that the streets are straight. North and south are 60 feet wide. East and west are 50 feet wide. Very few of the towns in the Mother Lode were laid out that way. Most of those streets in those towns just kind of wandered along wherever the creek was that was being mined. California became a state. Mariposa was its largest county. It covered one-fifth of the state.
Right, I remember reading that. That's right.
And all a part of 11 counties in California were formed out of that original county, including, not the first one, but the second county was Merced County.
Who would you say is the most, we were actually talking to a few people, and I think it was back at the museum, and they were saying that the most interesting person in town currently would probably be you. Would you agree, or?
Interesting?
Yes, most interesting person.
Well, I have a great love for this place. I was raised here. My father bought a drugstore here in 1943. I was 10 years old. And I operated a drugstore in Mariposa. My brother operated a drugstore. The pharmacy was in our family. And then in 1976, I became a full-time photographer both here and in Yosemite, and I worked in Yosemite for the next 30 years. I have written a number of books and published both my manuscripts and other people's manuscripts about the history of the county. And just in the last few months, published a 200-photograph album of pictures of the Yosemite Valley Railroad. And the Yosemite Valley Railroad, of course, started in Merced and went to El Portel. It was built in 1906. And it opened up Yosemite Valley for a large number of visitors. By 1926, a highway from Merced, which is now called Highway 140, was completed, and most of the travelers, visitors to Yosemite, used that road. They discontinued using the railroad. However, one of the things that encouraged the investors to build the railroad in 1906 to begin with were large tracts of timber lands inside and outside of Yosemite National Park that had been granted to various people by the federal government before the park was formed. And so from about 1913 till almost the time of the Second World War, there was a good deal of logging of the sugar pine lumber in and outside the park, and the logs were lowered into the Merced River Canyon and made up into trains on the Yosemite Valley Railroad that carried the logs to a place called Merced Falls in Merced County.
If someone told you to write something on a postcard that had Mariposa on the back, what would you say to them?
Well, it would depend on what the postcard was.
Let's say
if it was a Radonovich picture postcard of the Mariposa County Courthouse, then I would say it already has the history of the courthouse on the postcard.
Right.
But I would say this is a picture of the oldest courthouse west of the Mississippi in still continuous use. This handmade courthouse was built in 1854. And actually, there's one courthouse in Missouri that might be a little bit older, but we don't get into too big an argument.
No one actually mentioned that when we were there.
Oh, well. You know, we got a lot of people from Missouri and Mariposa County, so we just, you know, concede that. But at least west of the Rocky Mountains, we got it.
Have you actually heard of the Double Rainbow guy who is from Mariposa?
Did you? Yeah, I have.
What did you think about that?
Oh, I don't know. I've seen Double Rainbows. He just got a picture of it.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't know. Is there any controversy about it?
No. It's just we were actually asking a few people when we were in Mariposa, and they had never heard of him. And we were trying to find where he lived, and we actually did find his place.
I don't know the man, I don't think. I may, but I don't believe I know him. But I've seen lots of Double Rainbows.
Next, we talked to Mariposa resident Gary Williams, who had some interesting historical insights and perspectives, and also two ladies at the Mariposa Visitor Center who also had some interesting history to give us.
Gary Williams, and I've lived in Mariposa all my life. I'm going to be 71 here in February, and my father's lifetime, he was born in Hornitas in 1910. And my family, on my dad's side of the family, homesteaded Hunter's Valley.
So you have a lot of history in that area.
Yes.
How have you seen it changed? Has it changed at all over the years?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Yeah, we reminisce a lot about how it was in the old days. I hate to admit it now that I'm one of the people that people go to for the history. It's hard for me to realize that I'm this old, and I've people are coming to me for the history, and they used to come to my dad, who was the town barber for 60 years here in Mariposa.
Okay, so there's been a lot of history that's passed down. What's the main thing that you've noticed in terms of changes in the town?
well, it's a little comical, but one of the things that changes, has changed a lot is there's only one bar left in Mariposa, and it's not downtown Mariposa.
Okay, gotcha, gotcha.
There used to be four when I was a kid.
Right. But a lot of other businesses have moved into the area as well, right? It has grown a little bit.
Oh, yeah. We have the touristy type businesses have moved into the old Trabucco store. The Trabucco family, of course, in Mariposa dates back to the 1800s. And they were the mercantile stores here in Mariposa, Bear Valley, Calderville, and Mount Bullion. Mm-hmm. And they, like I say, they were the big mercantile. They fed the miners and clothed them. And, you know, you wanted a case of dynamite, you got it from the Trabucco Mercantile.
Probably a lot of money in that, too, huh?
Yeah, but they were owed a lot of money, too.
Mm. So now that everything's different, what's the best part about living in Mariposa?
Well, I like the people. A little story I tell is in 1969, I'm retired from the Forest Service, and I started with the Forest Service in 1961, and I spent 8 years, and in 1969, I was offered a job with Ford Motor Company in their racing program, and that lasted 4 years, and the program ended. The government said they were spending too much money on the racing, and they should be spending it on smog control and safety and all this stuff. So the program ended. Well, they offered me a job in Dearborn, Michigan there, and I said, there's no way I can live in this cold cold in the winter and humid in the summer weather. And they said, well, we have an opening in L.A., and I said, there's no way I can live in L.A. If I can get my job back with Smokey Bear, I'm going back to the Forest Service. So luckily there was an opening, and I got back on, and I retired after 30 years with the Forest Service. So
you didn't want to leave Mariposa, huh?
You know, I looked the whole time that I worked for Ford for the 4 years. I traveled all over the United States, and I was always looking for a place where I'd like to move, and I just never found any place any better than Mariposa.
Are there any negatives to living there?
Well, to me there's not, but to a lot of people, they feel that, you know, they have to go out of town to shop, and they have to go to Merced or Fresno, and I'm just happy here. We're supposed to be below the snow and above the fog, so.
Okay. And you're really not all that far away from Merced, really.
No.
It takes you, what, 45 minutes?
Yeah, if you keep the speed limit, and that's one thing you want to do on Highway 140. The Highway Patrol is very...
I've seen a few of them out there, yeah.
Yeah, they like 55 miles an hour. You can probably get away with 60, but... Well, I'd like to talk a little bit about my mother.
Sure.
She was born in Lancaster, and at 3 years old, her father was a deputy sheriff in Lancaster, a constable, and they had a lot of pretty rowdy people down there. And so one night he came home and threw a knife on the table when he got home and was taking his jacket off. And my grandmother asked, well, where'd that come from? And he said, well, a guy tried to stab me with it tonight. And some friends of theirs from Mariposa, the Finches, had been trying to get him to move to Mariposa. So that was the last straw for my grandmother. So they packed all their belongings in a boxcar, the family in one end, and their horse, their mule, their milk cow in the other end, and all their farming equipment that they had at the time, and moved to Mariposa and built a log cabin, and lived in a log cabin till about 1950, I think it was, till when they finally built another house. And my grandfather cut the lumber himself. He went into the sawmill business, and they cut timber off the property and on Carter Road, which is named after the family, the Carter family,
right,
and built the family ranch house, which is still there. My aunt is still living in the house that was built in the early 40s.
And the whole idea was to move to a friendlier place then.
Yes.
Kind of what Mariposa still is. It's a nice, friendly town.
That it was back then also, and not everybody in Mariposa had telephones at that time. And only very important people, the principal at the high school, the grammar school, the two highway patrolmen that were in town, and the sheriff and his deputy, they had telephones. And so I got a frantic call one night at the last day of deer season that they needed the sheriff. The sheriff and the highway patrol used to sit out in front of the Chevron station on Saturday nights and watch the bars. Mm-hmm. So I get a frantic call from Boot Jack that the locals and the valley hunters are having a shootout.
Oh, geez.
So if I could get a hold of Sheriff Whitley as soon as possible and send him out to Boot Jack, they'd appreciate it.
So that was
about 1953.
Right, so that was a big responsibility right there. If you're around a phone, you're an important person, huh?
Yes.
Right. Well, how did the shootout turn out?
There was a lot of arrests, I know. The jail was full that night.
Right.
And
right.
We were still using the old, what we call the Stony Lonesome Hotel, mm-hmm. here in Mariposa, the old granite rock hotel. And they had to separate the local guys from the valley guys. There's it's a two-story jail, and so they separated them by stories.
I work here at the Mariposa Visitor Center in the information desk, and my name is Pat Oliver. I was born in Yosemite. My folks worked for the concession, Yosemite Park and Park and Curry Company, and I grew up there, went to the elementary school there. I did not go to high school here. I went to a boarding school because the bus was so far from Yosemite to Mariposa.
Right.
And I came back and worked in the park seasonally, and then I came back in the 80s and worked in Yosemite and then moved down here, lived in El Portal.
So you've been here for a very, very long time.
No, I left. I left in the 1950s, late 50s, and came back in the 1983.
Okay, so mm-hmm. you've been here since 1983.
Yes.
So I guess how have you seen Mariposa change as a town?
Well, we've had some more stores come in. We've had two banks. Where other towns have kind of died, Mariposa has been very vibrant.
You're listening to Off the 99, a weekly radio broadcast brought to you by the Merced Sun Star and KYOS 1480 AM. We can be heard weekly at 6 p.m. on Saturday and 6:30 a.m. on Sunday, or all the time at MercedSunStar.com. This show was produced by Amira Butt and Mike North. We'd like to hear from you. You can reach us at OffThe99@MercedSunStar.com or by mail at 3033 G Street. This is Off the 99.